and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations move. The glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to you, and so excited to get the chance for us to gather together this morning and worship the Lord together. And so we are grateful that you're here. If you're a guest, maybe in person or online, we'd love to welcome you and say thanks for being part of our service today. We'd love to connect with you. We can do that one of two ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you, or if you're online, there's our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. We'd love to connect with you and know who's worshiping with us today, and we're grateful that you've chosen to be with us. And so we're excited this morning, and we're not going to spend a real long time this morning, but we do want to honor the Lord with our time and excited about it. And so let me go ahead and prepare you in just a moment. Whenever we finish with our announcements, and I'll pray. And as soon as I finish praying, I want to invite all of our kids up and come join me. I'm going to sit here and read the Christmas story for our kids and for all of us. This is a fun family tradition that we have each Christmas morning. So excited to kind of set the stage, if you will, to invite you into our home and just be a part of that. So looking forward to that time, all right? Let me make you aware of a couple things. Obviously, no evening services tonight. Also, this Wednesday would have been our Bible study we're a week away. On the 4th, I believe, we have Bible study with the pastor. So make plans to be here for that. And just take note of that. Next Sunday, again, we only have Sunday morning services only, and so no Sunday school, just that 10:45 time, so I hope you'll make plans to be here. No Wednesday night activities this week, it's busy time of year, a lot of different things going on, and so just be aware of those events that are in your bulletin this morning, that you can take note of those activities and those things that are going on. And so it's a busy time. So let me just take a moment this morning. And again, we're not planning to really draw anything out this morning, but we do think it's important that today, as much as we can, that we exalt the name of Jesus and be reminded of why we celebrate Christmas Day. And so let me pray for us. Jesus, you're good, and there is none like you. And Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for our time together. Pray that you be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. And Lord, we just love you, and we praise you. We thank you for all things. I pray that, God, your spirit would fall on this place, that we would, God, look to you. We would rest and trust in you and know that you are our hope and you are the promise that we have. And so, Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. All right, kids, I want to invite y'all up. And there's a few seats up here. And maybe we can get everybody in here. So, look at that. Amen. squeezing in there. All right. Well, I want to read Luke chapter 2. There we go. Good. Jay, you want to go sit with your brother?
Sweet.
Look at that.
Amen.
It's great. All right. Well, I want to read Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20 for us this morning. And so just this Christmas story. And so Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with him, with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings, a great joy which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Christ. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And so, y'all, we have the promise that Jesus has come and he is our hope. And I'm going to talk in just a moment about the hope. But if y'all will y'all hang around? I think Al Ray and Becca and Jonathan are going to come. Y'all want to sing Away in a Manger? Do y'all know Away in a Manger? I don't know it. I'm not a very good singer, so y'all are going to have to help, all right? So everybody join in. This is not just us, all right? So
Away in a manger, for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all tender care, with us for heaven to live with thee there.
All right, y'all. Merry Christmas. You know, there's a lot of fun this time of year when you have a tree, there's something like this wrapped underneath. I don't know, maybe not for you. This might be a hymnal or a hardback pew Bible or whatever the case is. But nonetheless, there's this wrapped gift that is underneath the tree. And as kids, we are excited, right, about the possibilities of what's here. The promise of that there is something for me or for you underneath the tree, the hope that we have that there's something that's going to bring joy, that's excitement. For us guys, it's a fresh pair of socks, amen? I mean, just get to replenish the supply or whatever the case is. No. But the hope that there's something for us, there is a gift for us. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about that idea of hope. This hope that we have, that it's not as much fun as we have with trees and gifts and celebrate. And obviously, we give the gifts that we do as a symbol of what Jesus has done for us and so on and so forth. But there's something much greater. There's something that has a much bigger promise and a hope to it. And so this morning, just real simply, want to look at the same text that if you're able to be with us last night, shared with you last night. Obviously, that bit, that part is found within the text that I read just a moment for our kids, and it's a lot of fun to see them sitting up here, some on their own volition, some under threat, whatever the case may be, they were here, and so grateful that they are. And so, if you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We've kind of been up and down this morning, so I'm not going to make you get up again. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and honestly, I'm going to read a few verses and really just it's more devotional than sermon this morning, and just share some thoughts with you as I walk through this text, some things that have really encouraged me this year thinking about Christmas. And so if I can, let me pray for us one more time for our time in the Word. Jesus, You're good, and You are the living Word, and we thank You that Your Word that we have this morning, God, what a promise it is, what a gift it is. And we thank You for that. I pray You bless the preaching and teaching of Your Word. God, give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. Pray that You be glorified. God, help us to fix our eyes on You, Lord Jesus. And we love You and we praise You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me pick up in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The first 9 verses is setting the stage up that this baby is born that Jesus has come. And you know the fulfillment of that He has promised from the very beginning of Genesis 3:15. There's that first promise that there's a Messiah, there's a Savior that is coming. And all throughout the Old Testament, time and time again, we see a promise of Jesus is coming. And by the way, as you read through the Old Testament, you see this idea of the angel of the Lord. I believe most often that's Jesus. Jesus doesn't suddenly just show up in Matthew chapter 1 or Luke chapter 1 or whether, like, he's always has been, he always will be, because he's fully God. But we just see that what happens when we get to the Gospels, what happens in that time is that God Himself, through His Son Jesus, stepped out of heaven and enriches earth. He is fully God beforehand, but then He just becomes fully man, and both of those taking place. And if I could explain that, it wouldn't be me, all right? So, but yet here He is. And so here's this promise to Mary that you're going to have a child, and there's no earthly father. And the significance of that is that had he had an earthly father, he would have had a sin nature like you and I do. And because of that sin nature, he would not have been able to die for the sins of the people. And so it's significant that, man, the Spirit of God comes upon her, and she conceives, and she bears this son. She delivers this son, that he has no sin nature because he's fully God yet fully man. That's the significance of him having an earthly mother. And so this baby is born, and we talked recently about the different reasons they could have traveled into the city where they did. And it may have been that we talked just last week about the Festival of Booths, the Feast of the Tabernacle, that it was a time of celebration, remembering how God had delivered His people out of Egypt and delivered them in the Promised Land. And they were in the wilderness 40 years living in tents and moving about. But God had given them this Promised Land, but He told them that they need to celebrate this Festival of Booths, build a tent, live in it for a week, and observe this time so that they could remember all that God had done. And some historians believe Jesus may have been born during that time. As the idea that Jesus comes, he is the tabernacle, He's the fullness of God Himself, and He is the ultimate fulfillment of the Promised Land, that is heaven that is to come. And so here he is. They've traveled in, and there's no room for them. You know that well. And she delivers this son. And so let's pick up in verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for to all people." And by the way, that's significant, right? To all people. That Jesus didn't just come to die for the wealthy or the poor. Jesus didn't just come to die for the black or the white or the Hispanic or the Indian. Jesus came for all. He is for all people. And listen, this is significant, right? Because the Jews thought it was just for them. The Jews were thinking this Messiah is just for us. And so even early on in the prophetic, the fulfillment of this is that the angel's saying this is not just for the Jews, this is for all people. And let me just uncomfortably say to us this morning that Jesus is not just for the Americans, it's for all people. And so we have a God who came to die on a cross, born, die on a cross, and offer salvation, it is for all people. Verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It may be, I was thinking as preparing for this, it may be that because we live in the Bible Belt and we have gotten away from being careful using the language, and it may not be a bad thing of saying, yes, I am saved. Right? Because everybody in the South, if you ask them, are you saved? Many in the Bible Belt will tell you, yeah, I've been saved. And they'll tell you about time they walked an aisle or they were baptized, whatever the case is. And certainly some of those were likely born again. They became genuine believers. But somewhere we maybe have gotten away from some of this language. And I'm not saying it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I want you to hear this morning and see this and be reminded that this baby that is wrapped in this swaddling clothes, wrapped up and placed in a manger, there's no room for him. The scripture here declares that he is the Savior. And this morning as we celebrate Christmas, I want you to be reminded that Jesus, there's so many titles and descriptions of who Jesus is, but don't forget this morning as you celebrate Christmas that we worship a Savior, the Savior. Why is that important? Why does that matter? Last night we talked about that Jesus came for all people, specifically he came for the down and outers and the nobodies. But he came for the wretched and the miserable. He came for the outcast. He came for the wicked. Because he's a Savior. And the reality is that every one of us, apart, left to our own devices, are wicked and wretched. Every one of us deserve the full wrath of God. You know, oftentimes when I talk to kids and they begin dealing with this idea of salvation and wanting to become a Christian and just struggling that, there's a question that I tend to go back to for all of those kids, and I ask them this. I ask them, say, hey, if God were to allow you to die, and you were to die and go to hell because of the sins that you had committed, would God be right or just in that? Again, I try to seed it in some language that child can understand. Why do I ask that question? Because all of us, before we can trust Christ for salvation, we need to understand that there's a penalty and punishment for our sin. And that God is not just some mean God looking to cast out judgment and pour out His wrath on anybody and everybody just because for no cause, but rather every person who has been separated from God for all eternity has always earned it. And matter of fact, every person that is in heaven or will be in heaven, apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ, deserves the full wrath of God, including me. But I want you to be reminded this morning, this is the beauty and why we celebrate Christmas. From the moment of Him stepping into or onto earth, the message was clear that He came as a Savior. Why? Because everyone in this room needs Him. Needs Him as Savior. Every person outside of this room. Matter of fact, every person who has ever been born all throughout human history needed something, and they needed a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And so He says, there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. And then look at this. Who is Christ the Lord? This idea of Christ is Messiah, the promised one. And remember, the Jews have been looking, the Jews have been waiting. God had been silent for hundreds of years. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's no new revelation. There's no new prophecy in which we are aware of. And so God had been silent and the Jews had been waiting. They've been under the impression of the Roman government. They've been waiting. And now in their finite mind, they have been waiting for a new king, someone to overthrow the Roman government and be a Savior, deliver them from the oppression of the political power. But God had so much more in plan. And so here He is. He says, there's one coming to you for all people. He is a Savior. He is the Christ. What's He saying? Listen, this is the one you've been looking for. This is the fulfillment of what you and your ancestors have been waiting and longing for. This is the wrapped gift. that for you and I and our kids, right, they see the wrapped present, maybe you get them out a few weeks early or a few days early, and they look and their curiosity runs wild. And for some of you that are really good at guessing gifts, your wife tells you you can't touch them because you might shake them and try to figure out what's in. Anybody else? All right, y'all act special this morning like you ain't trying to figure it out. But there's this wrapped gift and you're wondering, man, what is it? And all that sort of thing, and your imagination runs wild. Now think about this, that the Jewish people, they knew the prophetic fulfillment. They knew Genesis 3:15. They knew Isaiah 53. They knew all of these things, Isaiah 7:14. And here it was a wrapped present, and there was all kinds of speculation about what it would be on the inside, what this would look like, how God might fulfill this. There was no doubt in the hope that they had that God would fulfill it, but they did not know to which degree He might. And now here He is unveiling this. The angels say, listen, here's the Savior, but I also need you to understand this is the Christ. This is the fulfillment of the gift that you've been waiting for. And who is He? He is the Lord. He's the master. He's the boss. He's not just something which God created out of His own mind. He's not just something in which God grabbed dust up of the ground and formed together with His hands, but rather He gives Himself through His Son, God Himself. And so He is the Savior. He is the Christ. He's the promise. He's the gift. And He is the Lord. And He continues on, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Well, the angels knew the significance of this. The angels understood to some degree of what was happening here and that it was the salvation coming for mankind. And in verse 15, so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Isn't it fascinating that God could have used angels? God certainly could have sent a legion of angels and all the world would have known instantaneously in one moment. But rather, He picked shepherds who, by the way, are in need of what? They're in need of a Savior. They are wicked. They are lost without Christ. They have no hope without a Savior. But they knew that a promise was coming. And they knew that they needed a Lord. And so here the angels are declaring this message to them. And yet they are overwhelmed by this. And they realize that He has made it known to us. And I talked last night about that God uses nobodies to deliver this message for everybody. But it goes on, verse 16. "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen Him," look at this, "they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." It went from here the angels delivering this message to an unlikely crowd, to then that crowd, those group of the shepherds, however many they were, they made haste. They didn't wait around. We don't know how long it took, but Scripture says they made haste. They didn't spend a long time. They got there as quickly as they could. Now, how long did it take? We're not really sure. But we know when they got there and they saw what Jesus, they saw this fulfillment, the Bible says they made widely known this concerning this child. Why? Because the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, is a message that is worth declaring. Folks, we have more resources at our fingertips than the shepherds had unequivocally. We have more resources at our fingertips than any other generation of believers ever before us. Hey, listen, I get it. I get ticked off with social media too. I get upset with email after email after email. I get frustrated with the new vehicles that have remote start but run out of windshield washer fluid in 3 days in my wife's vehicle. That got me in trouble. But we have all these things. Yet, we struggle to go tell the same message that was being told over 2,000 years ago. That, hey, let me tell you, a Savior has been born. The Christ has come, the Lord. Here we are, thousands of years later, with the same responsibility that the shepherds have, that we have a hope. And that hope is found in Jesus. And it says that they made widely known the saying concerning this child. Verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Church family, let me just remind you this morning that we have a Savior and that we have a promised one. We have a gift that one day, one time and place, somewhere, hopefully, and throughout the course of your life, there was a day in which you realize that you were a sinner. And because of your lying, your stealing, whatever it is, your deceitfulness, you needed something different. Maybe you were like me, you were angry. Maybe the bottle had a hold of your life. Maybe it was, this wickedness, sexual immorality, and all these kinds of things in your life. And you realized they were not satisfying you. It was not enough that you were empty and you were void. And that somebody told you the message of Christmas and Easter. That Jesus has come. He has lived a sinless, perfect life. And He died on the cross for you. And He was raised from the grave so that you could have salvation. The Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. The penalty and punishment for my sin is separation from God forever. But the gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now here's the thing about a gift. If I try to give you a gift and you don't receive it, then it's not your gift. There has to be a receiving of that gift. And so, friend, I would just tell you this. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, if you've never received Jesus as Lord and Master of your life, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. Yes, I realize salvation is far more than a sinner's prayer. Please understand. I fully understand that. However, yet at the same time, it is so simple that one can call out on Him for salvation. We try to make it hard and complicated. But if you understand that you're a sinner and that your sin separates you from Almighty God and that Jesus has come and lived a sinless, perfect life and He died on the cross for you and He's fully God yet fully man and He was raised from the dead so that you could have salvation, you too can be saved. And many of you at one point, like me, receive the gift. You received it. And it changed you from the inside out. Whether you were 5 years old or 50 years old, it changed you that day forevermore. And here's what my challenge is to you. Commit the rest of your life to make widely known the message of Christmas. That Jesus has come. There's born to you this day in the city of David a child, a Savior. That He is the Christ. He is the Lord. He is the only hope of this world. And so, friend, I can't imagine a better day. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. I can't imagine a better day than today, Christmas 2022. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, to go, Jesus, today I want to give my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. Be the boss of my life. Whether in person or online, I plead with you, today is a day of salvation. And for all of us that know Christ, which I believe probably are many, if not most, in this room, may we commit individually and as a church. May 2023 be a year that Second Baptist Church makes widely known the message of Jesus. That's why we're here. May we give in a way that makes widely known that message. May we support in a way that makes widely known that message. May we go in a way that makes widely known that message. May we make disciples right here. Invest in people that one day will be all over the world, that the message of Jesus may be known among all people. There are still languages, tribes, and tongues that don't know the message of the gospel. Nearly 2/3 of the world's population don't know this message. Nearly 1/3 have never heard the name of Jesus. And there are still tribes and tongues that we consider unreached, unengaged, less than 2% evangelical. May we commit the rest of our lives to make widely known this saying. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. And God, I pray that, God, you would save anybody here who doesn't know you. God, in person or online, I pray they'd repent and believe on you. God in heaven, I pray that those that are lost and need to be saved, God, would you give them grace to call out on you. And if that's you this morning, you just pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I give my life to you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be, and I'll do what you want me to do. I ask you now, Jesus, save me. Help me to live for you. And if you're a believer here, I just challenge you just for a moment to just think about whatever days you might have left, if we might spend them doing all that we can that as many people may hear this message of Jesus through our lives. Whether it's by praying or giving or going or making, and would you pray for your church family that should the Lord tarry and give us a full year in 2023, that more people would hear the name of Jesus because of the work and ministry of Second Baptist than ever in its history before. God, you are good and gracious and kind. And I pray that this year, men, women, boys, and girls who have never heard the name of Jesus would hear it for the first time because of the work and ministry of Second Baptist. I pray, God, that we would pray and beg you for lost people to be saved. I pray that we would give in a way that we're desperate for lost people to be saved. God, I pray that we would go. Lord, I pray that we be intentional about building our fellowship and building relationships and making disciples here that may impact a lost and dying world. Lord, you're good, and there's none like you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say, if you prayed a moment ago and asked the Lord to save you, I want to encourage you. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you would fill that out. And there's a box that says, I prayed to receive Christ today. I would encourage you to mark that And you can leave that in the offering plate. We can take up the offering in a moment, or you can leave it in the pew there. If you're online, you can connect with us, send us an email, and let us know. We'd love to celebrate that with you. I am going to ask some of our men if they would get ready to help receive the offering as we leave today. And just grateful that you are here and want to celebrate. And as we leave, it's an opportunity to give. I do want to make you aware of a couple things. We're going to pray for our offering in just a moment. Daniel's brought his camera today and so has offered to take snap a quick family picture of you if you would like. Daniel, I don't know if we want to settle here. Here's great. Okay. All right. So if you want to hang around just a moment and he'd love to, he's offered to do that, take a picture of you and your family or whoever it may be that you want to take a picture with. That'll be right after service. And so thank you for doing that. And then there was another announcement and I lost it. I don't know. Hallelujah. All right. Hey, Merry Christmas to you. Thank God for you. And I just really appreciate you being here and worshiping with us today. So let's stand together. And I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to sing one more time as we dismiss this morning. So, Jesus, you're good. And thank you for today. Thank you for your love and affection for us. And we are grateful for all that you are and all that you do. God, I pray you bless this offering. And God, I pray as we continue to give toward Lottie Moon, that God, you multiply and use that. Lord Jesus, just thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.